about that? You get two sermons today. Catherine, where are you? Great job. Great job. At that time, Jesus came to Jericho and intended to pass through it. Now, a man there named Zacchaeus was seeking to see who Jesus was, but he could not see him because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus. Jesus resolutely had set his face to go to Jerusalem. And we've been following him for the past few weeks and will continue until Christ the King Sunday in another few weeks. As I mentioned in my sermon a few weeks ago, there are two routes to Jerusalem from Galilee. One across the mountain ridge through Samaria, and the other down the Jordan Valley to Jericho, and then a 9,000-foot climb up to Jerusalem. Our pilgrimage group followed this route when I visited Israel a few years ago. It's much different now than it was in the first century. And I'm not too sure Jesus would have chosen this route if he made the journey today. The highway pretty much follows the Jordan River, but between the highway and the river is a no man's land, along which runs a high barbed wire fence topped with razor wire. It's patrolled regularly by the Israeli army to keep out the Arabs and the Palestinians. As we approached the checkpoint between the territories of Palestine and Israel, we were stopped by Israeli soldiers who boarded our bus with loaded AK-47s to check our passports. You see, we were riding in a Palestinian bus licensed in Palestine. Our guide and our bus driver were Palestinian Christians. In the immediate area, we observed buildings with huge holes blown in them by tank or artillery shells and pockmarked with bullet holes. We were told by our guides under no uncertain terms were we to do any photography, because if we did, our cameras would be confiscated and they would not be returned. As a result, you've got to take my word for it, because I have no proof to show it. After they left the bus, we were allowed to proceed on our way to Jericho, which was only a few miles down the road. Today, it's only a small village with a few hundred people living there, probably not a whole lot larger than it was in Jesus' time. Well, Jesus did use this route for his journey, and Jesus had no intention of staying in Jericho. He was on a mission. He wanted to keep moving toward Jerusalem, where he would meet his fate. But something stopped him. It was a little man who was literally hated by the townspeople because he was the local Roman tax collector. They would not allow him to get near the front of the crowd so he could see this wonder worker who was passing through his town. So what does he do? He runs ahead, climbs a tree to get above the crowd so he can see. And as Jesus approaches, he is pleasantly surprised, and I can see him smiling and probably guffawing, to see this little man with his legs dangling from a limb sitting up in a big sycamore tree. Now, there is still a sycamore tree, I doubt if it's that old, in the town of Jericho. It's probably bigger around than what I can even reach a quarter of the way. And there was a hole in it. Somebody had a store inside the tree. That's how big these sycamore trees are. Zacchaeus was sitting up there with his feet dangling down, trying to strain to see who was coming. At this point, Jesus changes his itinerary. It must have been a nightmare for his traveling companions, for they never knew when Jesus was going to change his mind and do something that was different than what had been planned. Jesus, being the Son of God, discerns that Zacchaeus has had a change of heart. Jesus invites Zacchaeus to come down and lead him to his house to have dinner with him. Now, can you picture Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton inviting themselves to your house for dinner? I'm pretty darn sure that the Secret Service would have a holy fit. Now, how many times have you been up a tree because of our actions and been called back to reality by our faith in Jesus Christ to forgive us and invite himself to be present with us in our difficulty? He's present to us this very day as he shares his body and blood with us at the altar in the Eucharist. Let's face it, Zacchaeus was not a nice man. He was a traitor to his nation as well as his religion, but was welcomed by Christ into the kingdom of God. The conversion changed Zacchaeus' life totally and completely. Where once he was a ruthless and greedy, now he was generous and merciful. Where once he had oppressed people, now he set them free. Where once he was an object of fear, now he was a person to be marveled at. Though most of us don't experience such a dramatic turnaround in our lives, we all know the pain of failure and the horror of sin that robs us of our own dignity and our own capacity to love. All of us, however, are relentlessly pursued by the God of Abraham and the Son of Man. The grace of faith we have received through Christ demands that our lives slowly become more Christ-like. Zacchaeus spelled out in detail the difference in his life that his encounter with Christ brought about. Immediately, he gave half of what he had to the poor and repaid fourfold those whom he had defrauded. There was no mistaking the sincerity and the depth of his conversion. He understood Christ's generosity toward him, and he passed that generosity on to others. He understood that Christ had given him a new life by Christ's decision to enter his home and break bread with him. Frederick Buechner writes about Zacchaeus, and he says, and I quote, "He climbs a sycamore tree, a crook, and climbs down a saint, and climbs down a saint." The world of Zacchaeus changed that day. Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a descendant of Abraham." Zacchaeus was a descendant of Abraham. He was a Jew. He was now part of the community. He was equal with the others. And despite all the things that he had done as a tax collector, Jesus now welcomed him as a son of Abraham. As a result, he was promised divine life. How many times have we been up a tree like Zacchaeus? How often have we focused only on money, how much we could make, and how much we could keep? How often have we developed friendships based only on what we could get out of the deal? How many times have we observed others and criticized their thinking and their lifestyle? If we receive the body of Christ every week, then we are all brothers and sisters in the Lord. Salvation is brought to us. And like all the themes that we've heard from Scripture these past few weeks, we agree to make changes in our lives if we are truly Christian. We need to see how we can use our abilities to help others. Thank you, Catherine. We need to see how we can share our faith with others. When Jesus tells us to come down quickly, for today I must be at your home, we need to be prepared for this coming. We need to be ready for when Christ issues his call to each and every one of us. We need to be a part of salvation history. We need to play our role through our words and our actions. There's a centuries-old legend that Zacchaeus became the bishop of Caesarea in Galilee. And a tradition says that his wife, Veronica, in the following week, that is the week after Zacchaeus' conversion, would courageously step out of the crowd that was crying for Jesus' blood. And she boldly wiped the bruised and cut face of the man responsible for her husband's new life. And if you know the way of the cross, you know that that instant is related in the sixth station. Both husband and wife went out on a limb for Jesus Christ. Are you and I bold enough to do the same?